Well, the Oyarsa quickly neutralizes their threat and orders them to go home. And Ransom decides that he will go home as well. After an arduous, near-fatal journey, the three men return to Earth. And as soon as they get out of the spaceship disintegrates, thus preventing any further trips to Mars. Well, that's the plot in a nutshell. Let us now talk about the characters. Our hero, of course, is Ransom. And Ransom is an interesting combination of Tolkien, who was himself very much a philologist, and C.S. Lewis himself. Kind of, you put the two together, you get Ransom. And at the beginning of the novel, Ransom is a modern, scientific-minded, myth-exploding skeptic. In other words, he's just like C.S. Lewis, the atheist, before he went to Oxford and even in his early Oxford years. However, during the course of the tale, Ransom's eyes, like those of the young Lewis, are slowly opened to greater spiritual reality. So it's a kind of a spiritual journey for Ransom. Ransom's education, if you want to call it that, actually begins on his journey to Mars. Like most moderns, Ransom expects space or outer space to be dead, cold, and dark. But he's shocked that when he looks out the window as they're racing through outer space, do you know what he sees? Not dead and coldness. He sees a warm, dazzling field throbbing with life. And Lewis talks about this in The Discarded Image, his book about the medieval model, that medievals believed that the universe was filled with life, what they called plenitude. It was filled with life. And believe me, once you read the novel Out of the Silent Planet, you will never forget that image of space as warm and throbbing. In response or against that, our Earth is a dead, cold place. Space is full of life. Well, once on Mars, Ransom's chronological snobbery, you remember that word, is shattered even more as he encounters a medieval, even Homeric type of society whose virtues surpass our own. Most of the time he spends with the cross, and he realizes these people have a virtue that we human beings lack. Indeed, he discovers that the innocent cross can only conceive of evil as being bent. They're so good and so perfect in a way, they don't even know what evil is. And I bet many of you have read Gulliver's Travels Part 4. That's when he stays with a utopic race of horses known as the Houyhnhnm. And the Houyhnhnmm don't even know what a lie is. So the only way they can understand it is to say, a lie is saying the thing that is not. Well, in here, they don't have a word for evil, so they call it being bent. Now, at first, back to the chronological snobbery, Ransom, who is again entrenched in a biased, modernist view of politics and religion, can only understand the relationship between the three Malachandrian races in terms of force. They really can't get along. There must be some kind of power politics, realpolitik underneath that I'm not seeing. Also, he can only conceive of the Oyarsa as a cold, arbitrary deity. He can't really be a patriarch or father. He must be a cold, you know, terrible, uncaring force. However, his prejudices are soon shattered. The nobility of the cross allows him to believe that there's really equality and harmony here. And when he meets the Oyarsa and sees how real and loving he is, it shatters his religious prejudices. Indeed, even better, as all of these things happen to Ransom, he begins to nurture within himself the medieval chivalric virtues of courage and loyalty. Or to put it in the language of Lecture 3, Ransom gains a chest. He gains that virtuous chest that we talked about in relationship to the Tao. Well, that's what happens to Ransom. No such change occurs to Devine and Weston. Devine and Weston, surrounded by the beauty and wonder of Mars, are unable to see anything but greed, lust, and conquest. They do not have eyes to see, to quote that biblical phrase. Indeed, Devine and Weston are never able to view the Malachandrians as anything but ignorant savages. And as far as they're concerned, the fact that the Mollachondrians are not advanced technologically obviously proves they're barbarians. Talk about chronological snobbery.